Welcome to the Haney Biz Project with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz Companies. He's working tirelessly to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution and share the inspiring stories of the region's most influential leaders. And now, here's Mark Haney.
All right. How do you do? This is the Haney Biz Project, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in our hometown of Sacramento. We are entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs. Right, telling the stories of winning, telling the stories that I think inspire people. It educates entrepreneurs when we hear the stories of successful people like the ones that are coming on the show today. And hopefully, along the way, as entrepreneurs, we find a way to connect, because I think it's through that connection that we get our confidence and we begin to take a little more risk and get a little more confidence and begin to win on our own. Marcus, my main man is here with me today. Are you hanging or banging today, buddy?
Well, I am fired up on the Haney Biz Project.
To answer the question there.
I didn't want to tell you what I was doing before this, so I guess I'll tell you I'm banging. So
we are banging, on the Haney Biz Project. At our very best. We are on our very best opportunity. A lot of times as entrepreneurs, we sort of get stuck. We're not in the zone, right? When we're banging, we're in the zone, working on the stuff that puts food on the table for our families. You know, we all love our downtime, our time where we need to hang, but so often we get sort of caught in between, right? We're not really relaxing, and we're really not at our very best, at our very best opportunity. And that's what the show is all about. Through this show, we learn from the experts how to be at our very best, how to win. And, you know, today, Marcus, is no exception. We're going to talk today about sharing our vision. We know that as entrepreneurs, as leaders, if we don't do a good job on sharing our vision, our mission, our values, our philosophies, our purpose, you know, if we can't share that with our stakeholders, we are nowhere.
Yeah, you got nothing. Absolutely. You got to be living in it full time, all in, like Barry Broom says, face down in the blood, right?
Without a doubt. And I think a lot of times we're misunderstood. And maybe when we're misunderstood, we have to look in the mirror. Maybe we are not communicating appropriately. Some of it, though, has to do with who we are attempting to communicate our vision with. And that was the question of the week in the Revolution, our weekly newsletter, is when is it a waste of time to articulate your vision? Is it ever a waste of time, Marcus?
Well, probably if you don't have a clear vision, it might be a waste of time trying to tell people if you're not figured out. And probably if you're not living it, right? If you're not out there chasing that dream and trying to really take a hold of by the horns and really get after it, it's probably a waste of time in that scenario.
Have you ever been in a situation where you're sharing your vision and the person you're talking to just doesn't seem to care, right? It's like, you know,
all the time.
Yeah. it's awkward, you know. So why isn't it a waste of time to share our vision with people who just don't care? Or maybe people who just will never understand it?
Well, you got to know your audience, right? And you got to be able to speak to them accordingly. So I think if you know your audience well enough to deliver the message how they want to hear it, I think that you can share your dream with just about everybody as long as you shape it right.
It's got to be a clear message, or you will be misunderstood. And the person has to care what you're talking about. The other day, I was driving down the road with your mother, and we got up to the stoplight, and we're listening to the 70s music that I like to listen to, and I'm sharing my vision with her, and she probably doesn't want to hear it. she's trying to take it in while we listen to the radio, and a song comes on the radio, and it made me think about being misunderstood. Sometimes there's these songs that come on the radio and you don't have the word. You never heard the song Blinded by the Light?
Oh, of course.
Wrapped up like a douche in a runner of the night. I don't even know what they're saying.
But I usually just...
But I've looked those words up, and they're a little cryptic, but most people don't even know those words. And then a song comes, so I'm driving down the road with your mother, actually stopped at the stoplight down here, and a song comes on the radio by the Bee Gees. It's called Fanny Be Tender. Jeff, can you roll that real quick? And your mother's, you know, not, and I never knew, so that it comes on Sirius, and I never knew it was called Fanny Be Tender. I just thought it was called Be Tender or something like that. And your mother says to me, Fanny Be Tender, you think Fanny is a person? And I'm like, I think it is a person. Yeah, it is the Bee Gees, so we cannot be, you know, too sure on that, but... We have to be able to understand what the words are, what they mean. As entrepreneurs, it's so critical when we share in a vision, what does it really mean if we can't even get our team to understand right. what the mission is, what the vision is? How can we get the rest of the stakeholders to come on board as well? So coming up today, we got some experts in sharing the entrepreneurial vision. And we know that, you know, there's different ways to learn. One way of learning is by going to school and taking it in. The best way to learn, I think, is by getting in the game, rolling up your sleeves, making some mistakes. Maybe you're communicating and it's not working. That's the best way to learn. But the next best way to learn is by talking to people who have actually been there, done that, been in the game, know how to communicate, have proven the best ways to share their vision and to come away with a victory. And so later in the show, we're going to meet corporate CEO gone entrepreneur, Mr. Craig Hetrick. He's the CEO of California Growth Advisors and much, much more. But coming up after the break, we're going to have the innovative visionary John Bissell, the CEO of Origins Materials. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com. Brought to you courtesy of Five Star Bank. This is the Haney Biz Project. Seems like
now, back to the Haney Biz Project with host Mark Haney.
All right. Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Comstocks Magazine. I'm Mark Haney, and I am joined by John Bissell, the CEO of Origins Materials. How you doing, John?
I'm doing all right.
I appreciate you coming back down. It's been a couple years. You were known as Micro Midas back in the day.
Yep.
What's changed in this last couple years?
It's been interesting. So really what we've done is we've taken in investment, you know, substantially from two of our big announced customers, Nestle and Danone. And then we've taken in a variety of investment around that as well. And we've got the money essentially that we needed, and we're converting that into the plant. That plant is going to operate with our technology. And that's the first step in generating revenue, in getting to convert all of this research and investment and technology into something that actually helps the world in a material way.
Well, let's talk about that research and technology and what this is going to turn into. Give us an overview of the organization and what these products are that you're developing.
Yeah, so what we do is we take biomass is what we call it, but what that really means is sort of wood chips, or it could be cardboard waste or yard waste, something like that, and we convert that into chemicals and materials that you use. It's sort of I've heard it described as the world of things, right? So people talk about the world of bits. We, the chemical industry, and we enable the world of things, and we try to make things that are better, that are more economic, and that are more environmentally friendly. So okay. Fewer greenhouse gas emissions, better for human beings generally, right? All sorts of stuff like that. So the thing that we talk about the most that we make is PET, which is what you put into plastic bottles or polyester fiber in your clothing, something like that. So we take, instead of making it from oil, we take wood chips or biomass, which sucks carbon out of the atmosphere, to grow the thing that's used as the feedstock, and we make plastic.
And I think last time we talked, petroleum was, $30 a barrel, somewhere in the 30s. It's now, I think it's gone up quite a bit since then. It's still not high, but part of your value proposition is you're competing with petroleum, right?
Yep.
So how are things looking on that front?
So it's great. I mean, even when it was in the 30s, we felt okay. It was there was some pressure there, but as we've discovered in the intervening years, right, I think, I don't look every day. The last time I looked in the last couple of days, I think it was 67 a barrel.
Yeah.
So it was getting pretty hot.
You got twice as possible.
Yeah, right. And so all of that essentially is exciting margin. Now what we found out, of course, is that it's volatile, right? And so people will often tell you the price of oil, well, now it's low and it's going to be low forever. That's never the case. Also, it's never going to be high forever. But that uncertainty in the price and the way that manifests in the planning of our customers, that's a big deal, right? So if you're buying substantial amounts of material for the foregoing 6 months, 12 months, and the price of your material could change during that period of time by a factor of two or sometimes even three, That's hard to plan for.
Okay.
One of the main value propositions that we bring, aside from the environmental benefit, is that we can provide fixed cost pricing,
yes,
right? So we can suck the volatility out of this. And that doesn't mean you want to necessarily have all in volatile pricing. Sometimes it's useful to have a little bit of volatility, but it means that you have another thing that you can add to your buying portfolio of material.
Right. I can imagine that stable pricing allows you really to project out where things are going to be. It gives you that confidence to move forward and invest.
Absolutely. I mean, that's exactly right. If you look at the price of so we just talked about the price of oil changing by a factor of two in the last year. If you look at the price of trees in a given area, it's been essentially flat for about 100 years on an inflation-adjusted basis.
So you're taking trees or other items that might be considered waste,
sure,
and you're buying them, and you're making plastic bottles. Are these bottles now something that are going to be recyclable? I mean, how environmentally friendly is this?
Yeah, so it's a good question. One of our key stipulations when we were going to look at plastic bottles was that it has to be recyclable. You have to be able to recycle it in the existing waste, existing recycling streams. And that's because there's a lot of infrastructure that's been set up by these companies, right? Nestle and Danone, they care a lot about making sure that their materials are recyclable. That's a critical part of their strategy. If they're going to introduce something new, if it can actually be better, it needs to also still be recyclable.
How much of your focus is on, right, these are water companies that have, you know, like bottled water type companies that have invested into Origins. How much of your focus is around stuff related to water bottles?
So water bottles for us are, they're a big part of the market. They're exciting. You know, there are a lot of reasons that are probably overly technical for why water bottles are a good starting spot. But if you can do it for water bottles, you can do it for carbonated soft drinks. You can do it for fiber, which is, you know, polyester,
okay,
all that kind of stuff. So that's not a stopping place. That's just the starting spot.
And the idea, not only from a, you know, you have the fixed pricing, but the environmental, concerns have become so huge. You can't even buy you have to pay for a plastic bag when you go into the grocery store. I mean, how much is this a game changer for, I guess, every industry?
Yeah, so we've been doing some studies around that, and there's got to be kind of careful about the way you account for all those sorts of things. So people are very touchy about it because you can fudge the numbers. There's no gap accounting people are trying to develop a gap type standard for environmental benefit, but it's not really entirely accepted at this point. So I would say, broadly speaking, we see substantial double-digit reductions in the greenhouse gas emissions per kilogram, let's say, of plastic that we make. Now, it could be even better than that, could be a lot better than that, but a lot of that's sort of being sorted out right now by our customers. And they make a lot of those final determinations about how do you account for that. We don't. We make it. We do the best we can. We say, look, you guys measure this. You tell us what you think it should be.
And you launched your business. You went to UC Davis, launched your business, and opened up in West Sac. Tell us about the beginnings and then maybe some of the struggles that you've had to go through since the last time you were on the show, because I know it couldn't have been easy.
Yeah, sure. So really, for us, getting the money together, that's always a challenge because people, you know, industrial investment is becoming more interesting. But in fact, over the last 2 years, it's the overall feeling about industrial and technology investment has changed quite a bit. I mean, Tesla is a major driver of that, right?
Okay.
Tesla is basically an industrial technology that's, obviously, it's automotive, so it's not the same as ours, but it's the same class of let's invent technology that affects the real world instead of software.
Right.
And so that's starting to change the overall investing environment, and that helped us. But for us, the real challenge, because you know we closed our round of financing about a year and a half ago now. So the real challenge for us and what we've been thinking about is how do we take what's really a research and a search and exploration kind of organization that does business development and technology development and not lose that, but add on the ability to execute on complicated high-stakes projects with a fixed schedule and a lot of bits and pieces that can't be dropped, right? In research, you can sort of, as long as you get the big stuff, maybe the little stuff doesn't matter that much.
Well, you use the term execute, which is something that I think all businesses end up facing, right? If you raise the money, you got this, you've laid out the vision, but you've got to execute. And it makes me think about team and culture and sharing the vision. What do you do to share the vision to ensure excellent execution?
Yeah. So we do a lot to share the vision internally. So as we've grown as a company, one of the most important things that we do is we make sure that our team understands the vision of the company. That's important because a lot of what we do is it's challenging. it's not always easy to connect your particular task to the overall vision of the company. And you've got to, but people need to believe they have to, you have to access what we call their sort of discretionary effort. That willingness to go over and above to get the job done, okay. even when it's hard, even when it's yeah. painful, even when it's not the thing that you really wanted to do that day. And so helping people in the team connect whatever it is they're doing to the overall goals of the company has been incredibly helpful for us. And it's really important.
Well, what is the overall vision at this stage? When I know it started off, the vision has to have gotten bigger at this stage, right? I mean, your imagination is so much more powerful when you have all this money behind you, I would assume.
Yeah. So it is. It's been a pretty consistent vision at what we think of as the fully mature version of the company, which, by the way, for an industrial company can take time, right? That can be, it's often measured in decades to get to your apex, not 5 years, not 3 years, not 10 years even sometimes.
I suppose that's why someone in private equity or venture capital might be less likely to go in, and you really are going to be someone like Dannon or Nestle who are going to be around for 20, 30, 40, 50, yeah. 100 years. So they can make a long-term strategic investment.
That's exactly right. Now, what we're finding is as we get closer to that fruition of the technology financially, we're getting to a point where now you can start to access other pools of capital, right? In a way that was more challenging early on. You really had to have people who understood that industrial technologies, they build big moats around themselves. They can get long-term assets that perform for decades and sometimes generations, not just a few years, right? But so the big vision for us is really that we're going to supply a fundamental new material to the world. And when you're talking about that, that's like, you know, you're talking hundreds of millions, in some cases, of tons mm-hmm. a year. So that's millions of rail cars worth of material per year. That's our big vision. How do we do that and make people's lives better? And to do it more economically and more environmental, in a more environmentally friendly fashion than we do right now.
Is there a brand name behind the product you're building? You say a new material, like it's like plastic, or what's it called?
So that's a really interesting question. So DuPont, historically in our industry, is known for branding their materials. So if you go through and you think about Teflon, right?
Yes.
Teflon is a DuPont branded material. Everybody in our industry tries to do that. Very few of them do it successfully. So there's a lot of, and part of the reason is that you're selling your material. You know, we're quite far back in the supply chain from the end consumer. So pushing your brand above and beyond a consumer product company's brand. You know, if we were selling to, I'll pick somebody that's not related to us. If we were selling to Tesla, right? Do you think Tesla is going to allow or really want us to feature our materials brand over their Tesla car? That's a hard thing to do. But DuPont has done it for 100 years. They've done that successfully.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, some choices in marketing that have never reached my low level, my desk. However, thinking here, we only have a minute or so left, but in sharing the vision, your vision is changing. How would you, just for advice for us entrepreneurs in how we might share our vision, how we might think of going maybe bigger like what you have. I don't know, just words of wisdom from a guy who's in the process of really doing something incredibly big.
Yeah, I think, you made a couple comments earlier that I think were really relevant, which is that you have to know your audience. And I think it's, in our case anyway, in my experience, it's always been, how do you communicate a vision that you really believe that is big, that is the fully developed articulation of your vision, but provides enough, not too much, but enough credibility that people can actually believe it. It doesn't feel like pie in the sky. And that's a very difficult balance. And it depends a lot on who specifically you're speaking to and what their background knowledge is.
Well, I think at one point in the last show, it was 2 years ago. How old are you now? You're 30. You're
32.
32. Okay. I knew it was young. So you're about my daughter's age. And she's a real estate broker. And I made a prediction, and it went something like this, that you at 30, at the time, I think you were probably about 30, that you would be the most influential entrepreneur in Sacramento over the next 100 years. I have to say, you are taking strides in that way. So I still am going to hold that prediction. I'm not letting it go. I want to thank you, John, for coming on the show, sharing your story. I mean, I think it's very helpful for us entrepreneurs trying to build our dream here in Sacramento.
Thanks, sir.
When we come back, we are going to meet Mr. Craig Hetrick, the CEO of California Growth Advisors. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Adi Rockland. This is the Haney Biz Project. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Mark Haney, igniting the entrepreneurial revolution with the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Hub International. I'm Mark Haney, and today I have the privilege of having Mr. Craig Hetrick join me. He's the CEO of California Growth Advisors. How you doing, Craig?
Great, Mark. Good to be back again.
Yeah, so we were just talking. It's been about a year and a half for you. John had been about 2 years. And both of you guys, I love my job being surrounded by the most ambitious guys in entrepreneurship in Sacramento. You're moving and shaking as well. Tell us what's going on with Craig Hetrick.
Sure, sure. So if you recall, I was CEO of Java City. And 2 years ago, I went to actually Entrepreneur and started Renaissance Executive Forums Greater Sacramento and a CEO peer groups where we get business owners, 8 to 10, that leverage their experience, expertise, and resources to improve performance and personal lives. And so we've built 3 peer groups, 26 members, going well. But I've also found out that there were some CEOs that just didn't have time to be in a peer group, or they might have had several components of their business that weren't as strong as they needed to be. So I've launched California Growth Advisors as a program to help them strengthen the 6 key areas of their business, and by really learning, adapting, and mastering the best practice disciplines of great companies.
Well, I first have to say, yeah, for sure, thank you for coming back on the show. I think this is very helpful for our audience. But thank you on a personal note as well. My daughter, Ashley, CEO of Haney Garcia Realty Group, I think she's got like 60-something agents now. It's grown pretty well. She is in your advisory program. She's in one of your programs, and I know she is a huge fan, and which makes me a huge fan as well, Craig. So you're helping a lot of people, but you're helping my family. So thank you very much.
No problem. She's great.
Thank you. So now on your background, so a lot of us as entrepreneurs, we sort of maybe quit our job and go out and stake out on our own, and maybe we're even working in small business. We don't have the experience in being in a larger organization. It's almost it's kind of even hard for us to imagine how we might get there. Mm-hmm. You bring that background and that experience. What do you bring in experience?
Well, I think I bring in the fact that I've run companies in very small levels, there's 5-6 million, which are a lot of these type companies here, all the way up to 420 million. So I've been through all the stages of scaling up, and I've experienced that. I've faced their issues, walked in their shoes, and hit those road bumps and hit the ceiling and have been able to get through that. So I felt like I could share some of my experience and learnings with business owners.
Yeah, I have to imagine when you come in with that kind of credibility, people like my daughter are just sitting there going, wow, kind of, you know, hanging on every word to a certain extent. But there's all, what do you do to get them prepared to go back out in real estate or in a nonprofit? I mean, they're coming from all walks of life. I mean, are all businesses the same?
Well, they're all different, but there's a lot of commonalities in the way you run a successful business. Like I said, there's about 5 or 6 key areas of your business that have to be strong. You have to have a vision, a clear vision, as we're talking about today, which is great. You have to have people, the right seats, great processes. You have to execute strong and hold people accountable and things like that. And so we teach those. And then in the peer groups, they learn from each other, too. Mm-hmm. And that feeling that I'm not alone, and they share their experiences and their expertise from a different backgrounds and in different functional areas, all look at the world very differently, and they have that best thinking on the table to help them with their decisions.
What kind of problems are people or obstacles in business are people experiencing?
Yeah, probably the number one is hiring great people. And I think that's a big one there.
I guess right now, too, especially in Sacramento, right? It's hard to find great people.
But you know what a differentiator is for them? It's culture. And culture and core purpose matter. So when we talk about vision, before you even get your vision settled, you have to have your core purpose done. So we go through exercises with our teams and our leadership teams, and we ask them what their why is. And it's a simple process, what you do, why you do it 5 times. And you come to that 3-word why that mm-hmm. is really your North Star.
Right.
So that is everything you do.
Walk me
has
through
to go
that,
back to that
exercise. I think that's a fun exercise. I've done it myself where you say, why do you want to do that? Right. And then, well,
yes.
Why? Walk me through that.
The reason why I do that is because sometimes management teams are split on where they want to go. But that is a unifying process. It gets everyone level set on why we're doing this, right? So you first exercise, part of the exercise is you say what you do, right? Working alone, 5 or 6 people in a management team. Then you ask, why does that matter, right? Then you ask again, you know, why, and then five times. And really about the third why, you've got something very profound.
Okay.
That is what we believe in, right? And that is our North Star and why we get up every day and work hard for this company. Yeah. It's really about three words.
Okay. You know, thinking about John Bissell, the guy who was just on earlier with Origins, I mean, he is changing the world by creating plastic water bottles that, you know, that you can throw, not plastic, he'd probably punch me if he was here, but he's water bottles
he
that you could
yes,
throw
that way,
you
yes.
could throw in the garbage or throw in the, you know, they could be recycled. I mean, that is game changing. I don't know if that's his why, but can you imagine never having to, you know, sort that into the recyclable or, you know, that's just, it's unbelievable to me.
That's fantastic. And then the other part is your values. Right. So before you can craft a vision, you have to make sure you have what are the behavioral characteristics we want to have in this organization. So you've got your core purpose, your why, your values. Then you're ready to start crafting what that, you know, 10-year vision
okay,
looks like.
So you got your purpose, your why. You've got your vision. That's what you might imagine for the future. You've got your values that are shared among the teammates. What about philosophies and the mission itself, right? Philosophies meaning like the way we think, right? Because doesn't it all start with sort of the way we think?
Yeah, and that could be right in your values,
okay.
The way you think. And it's again, the expected behavior, how we're judging each other, defining our culture. So then you're understanding, with the understanding that's the way it is, then there's a certain, like you said, philosophical approach that fits or doesn't fit. Because you got to make sure you have the right people to go along that journey with that really will fit within that culture. And you're going to ferret that out when you go through that, for sure.
And then there's the mission, right? We talk about the mission, right? At executing on the vision and the rest of it. But we have to go get it done. It feels like a lot of us, we've got the fancy vision statement, mission statement. When it comes down to executing on the mission, that's a heck of a lot harder.
Yeah, it's about focus, too. And that's another issue I see with entrepreneurs is we're chasing a lot of shiny objects. So the focus area has to be aligned with our core purpose and our ultimate vision where we're taking the company. But to really focus their efforts and have, you know, one or two or three priorities for the entire company and a process in which we hold ourselves accountable for achieving those action steps that moves the ball down the field. And a lot of times that's absent, to your point, where you got this nice great plan, but nothing gets done. Or doesn't
I always
get done right.
say, you know, hey, a lot of people treat their mission statement kind of like wet in your pants. You know, it feels nice and warm, but it doesn't do anything, right? So you have to find a way to get it going and get real traction out of it. I'm wondering, as a CEO, right? If I'm a CEO of one of your peer groups or somebody that's working with you, how do I communicate all this to my team, right? What is the best way? Is it meetings? Is it through words on a paper? I mean, are there rhythms that are associated with best practices for executing?
Yeah, sure. There's meeting rhythms that you can have. And it, strong leaders have said in the past, you have to communicate it 5 or 7 times before everyone really totally gets it.
Okay.
So you have to over-communicate that. But you certainly have to have your team involved. And there's regular check-in meetings where you're talking through your issues as a team. What's preventing us from achieving what we're trying to achieve here on these priorities that lead to achieving our vision. And so it's regular communication, your regular accountability meetings, getting the buy-in from the employees and the management and getting their involvement in the execution.
Well, it's interesting because you are teaching this, you're helping the next guy in line, you've got this background of experience, but doesn't matter how much experience you have. I mean, I have a little bit of experience myself, but I'm in the middle of starting, I don't know, 15 companies or whatever this is. Executing is tough. Now you've gone from corporate here to, now you're an entrepreneur, right? This is a small business as well. What kind of challenges do you run in operating this small business?
Well, you have to eat your own dog food, right? So basically practice what I preach and make sure that I'm highly focused and I'm not chasing shiny objects and I have a very tight ideal customer base that I help the most, and then really strong execution priorities that go along with that. So sometimes you can catch yourself falling out of that too as well.
Yes. Well, let's talk about social responsibility for a second. It's a hot catchphrase now, is that being a socially responsible entrepreneur. Obviously, what John is doing is great for society. You have a socially responsible vision as well, and I know you're involved with SVP, Social Venture Partners. Talk to us about the community.
Sure.
and being socially responsible in your entrepreneurial endeavor?
Sure. For our company, you know, my wife Joyce is my business partner, and our core purpose and what we believe in is that growing companies build thriving communities, and that's our why. It really starts in a nonprofit.
I'm
going to
steal that, by the way, okay?
You trademarked. <Yeah. laughs> But it starts with the nonprofit community and education, and that's what SVP is all about. That we have to have kids that are growing up and having a future in terms of being trained in technical schools, colleges, what have you, and in the areas that we feel will fuel growth in Greater Sacramento. A great example of this is a Powerhouse Science Center too, as well. You know, I think that should be a cornerstone of GSAC's strategy, is because they're really pushing STEM and getting kids interested in STEM, and the more they're interested in STEM, they'll go to college and study those areas, and then we'll have a pool of qualified workers that are ready to go, and we can attract more companies that are technology-based to get in there. So that's why we believe very strongly in working in a nonprofit area in education. And SVP, we're all partners where we contribute dollars, we pool our dollars together just like you would in a VC, and we invest in building capacity for several nonprofits.
Yeah, it's incredible what you do as social venture partners. I know John is involved in that. I am involved in that. And you guys have a big event coming up at Golden One. I think it's the 8th of March.
Fast pitch.
I get to be one of the judges. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned GSAC, right? And a lot of people might not know what GSAC is, but these guys, it's a group of people who have come into Sacramento to help recruit business into Sacramento and help business thrive here in Sacramento. And I guess my final question is around Sacramento, right? My hometown, I guess you haven't been here all your life, but this is your adopted hometown now. You think about working together, I call it the power of with GSAC, with the social venture partners, with guys like Craig Hetrick and John Bissell. How important is it that we all work together as leaders?
Oh, it's vital. And if any one of those pieces is weak, you're not going to have a thriving community, right? So we need to strengthen nonprofits that work on education. We need to work with entrepreneurs starting companies, which is a lot of environment around that. And in my companies, I'm working with companies that are, you know, 1 to 12 million and strengthening areas of their business so they can scale and so they can be job producers. And all of that working together helps to build a thriving community.
I love it. I appreciate you coming on the show again, Craig. We will have you standing invitation here for you. You're so articulate and you're so educational for the entrepreneurs here in Sacramento. When we return, I will be rejoined by Marcus Haney. We'll talk a little bit about our vision, and we're going to talk about the entrepreneurial community right here in our hometown of Sacramento. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of the Entrepreneurs Organization of Sacramento and law firm Greenberg Traurig. This is the Haney Biz Project.
And now, back to the Haney Biz Project with investorpreneur Mark Haney.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of accounting firm Clifton Larson Allen. I am rejoined by Marcus Haney. Marcus, we've had some great guests on the show today. I mean, John Bissell, incredible what he's doing over at Origins. And then, obviously, Craig Hetrick helping so many entrepreneurs right here in our hometown. Closing thoughts, takeaways from today?
Yeah, I thought it was great that Craig called you out on chasing some shiny objects over here.
Yeah, was he talking about me? I didn't even know what he was talking about.
I think there was a little wink-wink situation going on. Just teasing, though.
Craig.
But, you know, I'm really excited to watch John Bissell over at Origins take off like a rocket ship. That company is really doing some great things. Based right here out of Sacramento, going to be an international sensation. Looking forward to that.
I thought Craig was right on track when he was talking about it starts with your why, it starts with your purpose. I mean, if you don't have that figured out, whether you're alone or whether you're trying to rally the team, I mean, you're not going to get very far if you can't keep your why in the front of your mind. It's what gives you that strength, I think, going forward. Right? I was at CrossFit again this morning, and you know what? It's like I have to have a why, or I feel like giving up
right.
somewhere. And it's that why that I think gives us the strength, and it's kind of like a North Star.
Absolutely, right? And you got to utilize that to bring you out of the what do you call it, the misery of sorrow? What do you call
the trough of sorrow?
Right?
Every business. Now, we tried to bring this out of Craig today, but every business that I've ever started and I've been around, you start the business and you're so excited at the beginning of the business. You're like, oh, wow, we're going to change the world. We're going to invent this. We're going to, you know, make millions. And then There's point in time, I call it the trough of sorrow, when, you know, it's a rocky road to getting sales, to getting profitability. And it's not until that light bulb moment, or maybe when the customers start kicking in, or maybe when you get that next round of investment, that you're out of that trough of sorrow. And during that trough of sorrow, though, that can be lonely, and you want to narrow that, or I want to have that trough of sorrow, that rocky, bumpy road at the bottom. I want to minimize that if I can.
Absolutely. And that's kind of what we're doing here at Haney Biz, right, is to help entrepreneurs shorten that length of travel a little bit and get them out of that trough of sorrow sooner with more excitement and, you know, with more profitability.
We got to get them banging. We got to get them working on their very best things. You talk about chasing the too many shiny objects. It's like, well, there's got to be a time where we get focused. And I do think that, yeah, we do that in conjunction with California Growth Advisors to try to help small businesses achieve their dreams. And so you think about the vision here of Haney Biz. Here I have this vision. I think you know this, Marcus, of 100 millionaire business partners having dinner in my backyard. And I look down to see who is among them, and it's all of my favorite people. And the thing that's interesting is they're all trying to help one another, right? Each of these business partners cares about one another with common goals, common vision. And it makes me think, just think if the entrepreneurs of Sacramento had some of that, right? I'm still trying to get it done for our group of companies and my group of investments, but just think if that happened for the leaders of Sacramento.
Yeah, well, I mean, what do you think would happen, right? I mean, what do you think if John Bissell, Craig Hetrich, Mark Haney got together with the Smuds of the world and the PG&Es and really try to take some stuff to the next level? I mean, could that accomplish?
I think if that did happen, or as that does happen, I think we'll go from being known as a government town where people grow up, you graduate from high school, and you're hoping to go to work for the state, that way you have good benefits, to something where you're creating business, you're creating new opportunities, new ways of doing things, new ways of drinking water, right? That happens not by big government agencies. That happens by small businesses figuring stuff out, and hopefully some of them become a lot larger businesses like some of the guys that we talked about today.
So back to your CrossFit, when you're working out hard, you're thinking about your North Star, you know, what is that besides building these companies here for Mark Haney? What does that North Star feel like for you?
I'm one of those guys that likes to create the vision and the mission statement. Some people might think they're touchy-feely or too warm and fuzzy to work with, but to me, they help me. So I think about being the finest athletics and life coach that my great-grandchildren ever experienced. I picture myself throwing batting practice to these little kids. I'm an old man, and I envision throwing batting practice to these little kids in the backyard and them hitting the middle of the ball and us celebrating. So that means I have to be close with my family. And you and I have taken on something we call Haneyville. I guess it's time to bring this up to our listenership, but it's something that has taken hold of our family in the last 3 or 4 weeks, maybe a little longer, six weeks. Yeah, we started something called Haneyville, which is a small town in Loomis, right? And it really looks like a town. We bought these 40 acres, and it looks like a town. It's an old winery, and we're going to make it a family compound, a place where you can build a house, Marcus. Your sister can build a house, our daughter, and your mom and I can build a house. And, you know, I can find a way to spend more time with the people I care about, and maybe get a chance to throw a little more batting practice, because that's what I love to do. To me, the times that I threw you batting, how many pitches do you think I throw into you in my life? Probably 10,000 pitches, a million? Yeah. I have thrown more batting practice probably than any father in the world has thrown to his son. Here you are, 30, about to turn 30, and you're a Marine and an entrepreneur, but, you know, I've thrown a lot of batting practice, and there's nothing more therapeutic. I think there's nothing that bonded us more than, you know, I became a pretty good pitcher, right? I'm throwing so much batting practice that, and as I saw you become a hitter, right, and playing baseball in competitive levels, I was like, that bonded us. I want that again for my future generations.
Well, it's really exciting for me, you as my mentor, you know, growing up and seeing your vision and me piggybacking adding that a little bit with the Haneyville compound. It's really exciting for future generations, you know, my kids' kids' kids, right?
Yeah.
We're doing something great. And I think that's something that we're doing here with entrepreneurship in Sacramento, that, you know, the ripple effect is really, really going to take off and do something great.
Yeah, I agree. I think you use the term ripple effect, and I couldn't agree more. What we're doing in some small way, what Craig Hetrick is doing in a different way, in a significant way, what John and his company is doing, I think that emanates throughout the people that know us. So we think about, like, how do we become better entrepreneurs? How do we, what's our steps in chasing our dream? I say it's go be around people that you might want to emulate, people that you might want to be more like, but people who care about your vision. We talked at the beginning of the show about when is it a waste of time to share your vision? And I think it's never a waste of time when you're sharing your vision with people that care about you, with people that you care about, with people that want to help you get from point A to point B. It's never a waste of time to share your vision with the people you love.
I couldn't agree more. This is the Haney Biz Project, and we will be back.
We'll be back
in just
with a little more Mark Haney in just a minute. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back for Mark's takeaways from today's Haney Biz Project.
Now, welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Silvers HR. I'm Mark Haney, back here with Marcus Haney. We've been talking about our vision. We've been talking about the need to share our vision here in Sacramento. But I think every entrepreneur needs to figure out a way to share their vision. And it starts with finding our voice, right? We got to, as we said, have a purpose, know what the vision is. But you have to find your voice, I think, if you want to really execute. And I think there's been times in my life, and you might not think about me as the guy that might be afraid to share his vision. I think when we first started the radio show, I was pretty nervous, and the nerves have calmed a little bit. And here we are, we're talking about, you know, throwing batting practice to my great grandchildren in my backyard with confidence and with passion. But I think in my entrepreneurial career, I've started a number of businesses. I wasn't always that guy. I think there's been times when, even with my own teammates, I was not strong in articulating my vision. I wasn't strong in over-communicating the mission. And it's in those times that my companies, they always stalled out. Every time I lost my nerve, every time that I forgot that somebody needed to share the vision, my company stalled out. And I think there's times when I thought it's somebody else's job to share the vision. But you know what? It starts with the entrepreneur. It starts with the CEO. It starts with him or her finding the courage to get up in front of the group, to have the tough conversations with their teammates, to talk to the different stakeholders, whether it be the suppliers, the investors, but more importantly, your team. You have to be able to be confident in sharing your mission, and we have to find a way to be clear, or we will be misunderstood, as we talked about. Being misunderstood, it's so difficult. And I think back to being stalled out a number of times, all the way to the point where I had walkouts and, you know, a sales drop one company by $10 million in a given year. And, you know, panic sets in. And I realized, you sort of look in the mirror, why is this happening? And all I could see was this guy that was afraid to share his vision. So as I think about the entrepreneurs of Sacramento, you, Marcus, as you build your company, the different people that I coach, we have to find the courage to step up and find our voice. We have to find that voice. It's never a waste of time to share the vision with the people that care about you, and that starts with our team. Hopefully, we've surrounded ourselves with people who believe in us. And I think about the Haney Biz team that we have here today, the people sitting around me, my business partners, and I would be nowhere without this Haney Biz team. And we're this series of startups, and we're still trying to figure out exactly how we might hone in on our vision. But I have to say thank you to my team that's helping me with the radio show, helping me with this entrepreneurial dream of igniting an entrepreneurial revolution right here in Sacramento. So stop telling our dreams to small-minded people. Hire the people that have the ability to comprehend and to share our vision, because unshared dreams, you know what? If we don't share our dreams, they surely die. So just thinking about a shout out to everybody here in Sacramento who's fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, our way of life, and entrepreneurship. Salute to all of you. Never above you, never below you, always by your side.